In a cosmos where death is merely raw material and bone manipulation is high art, the Emperor's immortal lictors are dying after 10 millennia service. Enter Gideon Nav, irreverent, sword-obsessed, and desperate to escape the gloomy halls of the Ninth House where she's been trapped since infancy. Her nemesis? Harrowhark Nonagesimus, the Ninth House heir and necromantic prodigy who has tormented Gideon for 18 years with skeleton constructs and cruel punishments. When the Emperor summons all nine houses to compete for the honor of becoming new lictors, Harrow makes Gideon an unexpected offer: serve as her cavalier during this mysterious challenge and afterward receive freedom. The Ninth House exists in perpetual twilight, where skeleton servants tend fields and black-robed nuns perform endless prayers before the mysterious locked tomb. Gideon's position is uniquely miserable, neither noble nor servant, but an indentured orphan whose mother arrived brain-dead in a drag chute with infant Gideon in a bio-container. For 18 years, she's endured Harrow's torments while dreaming of escape to join the cohort, the Emperor's military. When Harrow thwarts Gideon's 87th escape attempt, their bitter exchange reveals years of hostility. "You're a waste of resources," Harrow sneers, while Gideon responds with obscene gestures and smuggled magazines. Yet Harrow needs Gideon, specifically her sword arm, to answer the Emperor's summons. With their actual cavalier having fled, Harrow reluctantly offers Gideon freedom in exchange for service. What follows is 3 months of intensive rapier training that contradicts everything Gideon knows about two-handed combat. Their reluctant alliance leads them to Canaan House, a crumbling, sea-bound palace draped in dead vines. Here gather representatives from each house: the militant second, the glamorous third twins, the fourth's teenage soldiers, the scholarly fifth, the analytical sixth, the dying seventh duchess, and the eighth's religious zealots. Teacher, their elderly host, reveals their task: compete for lictorhood through trials. The prize is immortality with the Emperor. Failure means death. The competition becomes a hunt for hidden laboratory doors containing ancient theorems about achieving lictorhood. Harrow maps the facility while Gideon serves as muscle. In the response chamber, Harrow discovers the crucial link: necromancers must see through their cavalier's eyes. This forges an unwilling bond between them. Their progress is marred by the murder of Magnus and Abigail from the Fifth House, the first casualties in a mounting body count.
As bodies accumulate at Canaan House, Teacher blames ancient security constructs for the deaths of scholars and soldiers alike, from the Fifth House's married pair to the Fourth's teenagers. Yet the killing's ritualistic nature hints at human involvement. The facility becomes a labyrinth of suspicion and fragile alliances. Second House's Captain Deuteros calls for military action, while Sixth's Palamedes Sextus investigates through necromancy. The Eighth's Silas Octacazeron turns religious fervor into accusations against the Ninth. The murder of Fourth House teenagers Isaac and Jeanne-Marie proves especially chilling. Their encounter with a massive bone construct, a cathedral of animated skeleton, reveals necromantic power beyond known limits. Sweet Dreams, written in Jeanne-Marie's blood, suggests a taunting killer. Seventh House's dying Dulcinea Septimus appears above suspicion, given her genuine friendship with Gideon. Yet when Palamedes finds her cavalier's severed head in Harrow's quarters, trust between houses shatters completely.
The evolving relationship between Gideon and Harrowhark drives this gothic space mystery. Their lifelong enmity begins to shift during the trials, though neither easily abandons their mutual hatred. Gideon serves reluctantly, while Harrow treats her as merely a tool. Their dynamic transforms when Harrow must siphon Gideon's life force, nearly killing her. Harrow's unexpected gentleness afterward marks a turning point, though both resist acknowledging their growing bond. The cavalier oath, "One flesh, one end," gains meaning as they observe other houses' partnerships, from the Fifth House's harmonious married pair to the Sixth House's absolute trust between Palamedes and Camilla. Yet Gideon and Harrow's relationship remains fractured by their disconnect. Their breakthrough comes after Harrow reveals the Ninth House's darkest secret, sacrificing 200 children for her birth. When Gideon embraces the distraught Harrow, they finally exchange the Cavalier Oath. That night, they speak openly, with Gideon sleeping peacefully at Harrow's bedside. Palamedes Sextus uncovers a devastating truth. Dulcinea Septimus is actually Cytherea I, one of the Emperor's original lectors from 10,000 years ago. The real Dulcinea died at the Seventh House before the competition began. Cytherea's impersonation was masterful, from her blood-flecked coughs to her trembling hands as she systematically sabotaged the Emperor's attempts to create new lectors, while targeting Gideon for her unique golden eyes and fighting ability. When exposed, Cytherea sheds her fragile persona to reveal millennia of accumulated power. The surviving houses must unite against an adversary wielding both advanced necromancy and her long-dead cavalier's combat expertise. When exposed, the truth about lectorhood emerges. It requires necromancers to consume their cavalier's soul, granting immortality and combat abilities while erasing the cavalier's separate existence. Ionte Tridentarius proves this by consuming Nabarius, instantly gaining his sword skills despite her lack of training. The final confrontation with Cytherea reaches its devastating peak when she easily shatters Harrow's constructs, forcing them to shelter beneath a failing bone dome. With Harrow bleeding heavily, she begs Gideon to flee while she provides a distraction. Gideon refuses, instead confessing, "I don't give a damn about the locked tomb. I only care about you." Understanding Lactorhood's secret and seeing no alternative to save Harrow, Gideon makes her choice. "One flesh, one end," she whispers, kissing Harrow's forehead. In that moment of perfect trust, Gideon's soul flows into Harrow, granting her the power to defeat Cytherea. The epilogue finds Harrow Hark aboard the Emperor's ship, her heart devastated. The Emperor Undying, instantly recognizable by his black sclera and rainbow oil irises, explains the cruel truth. Gideon's soul now lives within her, and any attempt to separate them would destroy them both. In a universe where death is merely another state to be manipulated, Gideon's willing sacrifice transforms necromantic consumption into an expression of love. Her choice to give herself to save her former tormentor elevates the story beyond its gothic space setting into an exploration of redemption. As Harrow Hark I, Harrow begins her new existence as one of two surviving lictors alongside Iantha. Despite her grief, she pledges to serve the Emperor and locate Gideon's body, carrying Gideon's consciousness somewhere within her, their ultimate union achieved through sacrifice. The ambiguous ending leaves Gideon's fate uncertain. Her presence persists in Harrow's new combat abilities and subtle personality shifts, representing both the culmination of their journey from enemies to something like lovers and its tragic interruption. They achieve perfect unity at the cost of Gideon's separate existence. As Harrow emerges as a lictor carrying Gideon's soul, her final choice ensures that even as Harrow Hark serves the Emperor, something essential of Gideon Nav endures, proving that not even death can truly separate them.